Welcome to the Wedding Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Well, hey, how are you getting on, Danny boy?
Hey, Rob, how's things? Good this
Not
week?
Not too bad, my man.
Yeah, I can't complain, really.
Good, good, good. That makes a change.
Yeah, I'm pretty miserable usually, so it's nice to feel good this morning.
Are you keeping up with the training?
Yes, I am. I'm running, cycling, doing a bit of beach weights, as we used to call them.
Good man. Are you an endorphin junkie?
Yes, I must be, because I do feel much better for it.
Yeah, I just took off 4 days from training because I had problems with my stomach.
Uh-oh.
And I felt miserable in those 4 days. I mean, the stomach problems subsided after about a day. So yeah. I had 3 days where I was just resting, but, you know, just making sure everything was in order before I went back out again.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I felt absolutely horrible.
I
need to be training to be happy.
Yeah, like I've gone through phases all the way through life, really, of getting fit, then getting fat, then getting fit. And those fat stages, it's a hard rut to get out of. But I've managed to do it this year.
Yeah, for me, when I was just lifting weights, the weight used to just creep up very slowly over a year. You know, you'd be, throughout the summer, you'd be lean.
Mm.
And then in the winter months, then it would just slowly creep up. And it was horrible. It's very hard to keep it off.
Well, you have to store it in the winter, don't you? For those freezing cold nights.
Yeah, because we are living in the forest and stuff like that nowadays, aren't we?
Yeah. Everything's too easy and accessible as well, eh? Yeah.
The good old hunter-gatherer days. Yeah. I think we should be out hunting for our food every day. That would keep us fit.
For sure. I don't think they had Deliveroo in those days, did they?
Deliveroo?
Do you get that?
No, I don't think so. No.
It's basically a man on a, well, or a lady, obviously, on a motorbike dressed as a kangaroo. Delivers your pizza, pasta, ice cream.
Shut up.
It's true.
It's not true.
All right. The logo is a kangaroo, right? Maybe they don't dress up. But yeah.
I mean, it's a pity that isn't true. Have you seen those T-Rex suits? You know, they inflate up.
I saw one the other day walking the dog. Obviously, it's crazy time, so I didn't have my camera.
A T-Rex walking the dog?
I was walking the dog, and this guy was wearing one of those T-Rex suits where the legs, like fake legs, dangle down, so it looks like he's kind of sat on a dinosaur. Just walking the streets. Right. Honestly.
Randomly.
Super randomly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So you obviously take a double take. Did I just see that? It wasn't even in the middle of town. It was properly, you know, just through a little random street.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
By day as well. So I wouldn't have thought he was drunk.
No.
Just must have had a new delivery from Amazon and just thought I better try it on.
are things generally cheaper in Wales?
Usually.
Really? Why?
Because since they closed the mines in the 1970s. No, it's just, things are cheaper. Usually, like my local town, if I went down to Bridgend town and I went on a night out, I would probably spend almost half on the drinks.
So you spend about £5?
£2.50.
Yeah.
And if I went to my local village at the rugby club, it's probably still £2 something a pint.
Okay.
Doesn't make a difference. Well, I love two, please.
I love it how we always quantify, the price of living and so on by the price of a pint.
I haven't even had a pint for a while. I've had the odd tot of whiskey just watching TV at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm the same, man. Do you know the last time I had a beer?
No.
Actually, I'm not going to say it because I'm sick of saying this word.
All right, I can guess.
India. Right, that's being cut out. I'm not saying India again. I think every single podcast we've had about 4 hits on the word India. Right, yeah, no. It was a long time ago since I had a beer.
It's good for you.
It is. And here in Switzerland, they don't drink pints either. They drink halves. Which I think actually is better because it keeps, you know, it stays cooler.
Well, there is that.
Well, it doesn't stay cooler, but...
You are in Switzerland.
You know what I mean.
In the mountains, so it's going to stay cool, isn't it, Robert?
We're not all in the mountains, you know, playing our... what are they called? What does Heidi play? Alphorn. The Alphorn.
You've lost me now.
You know the Alphorn. Do you not know what an Alphorn is?
No.
It looks like a didgeridoo.
No. I know what porn is. And I know an Al. He's mental.
I mustn't be pronouncing it right. But it's a big, long piece of wood, like a didgeridoo. You know what a didgeridoo is, right?
Yes.
But it's about three times as long.
That's my didgeridoo.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that. It's about three times as long, and they play it in the Alps, and the sound travels like all over the mountains. It's insane.
I have seen it. Do they have it in The Sound of Music?
Of course they have it in The Sound of Music.
Then I've seen it.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
There's only one singer here, mate. Stick to
that's
the guitar.
True, actually. Yeah. That's why I play the guitar.
That's why I don't play any or sing.
It was such a sickener in university because I could play the guitar all through university and it was absolutely amazing at parties. But I was massively let down if there wasn't a singer at the party because I then had to, you know, improvise and be the singer and the guitarist.
Yeah.
And I'm not the best singer, unfortunately. And it always used to pain me.
You'd be around the campfire, everybody singing Kumbaya, My Lord, around you, praising you, thinking this guy's a legend. All the chicks flocking around you. I've seen those guys. That's why I bought a guitar once and bought Guitar for Dummies and got to page two and thought, what the hell is this?
It's amazing when you can play a song on one string, right? you are a god.
I did play the violin in school.
No, you didn't.
I did two lessons and I didn't even get a bow. I had to pluck it with my thumb and I thought,
oh my God.
This isn't what I signed up for.
That is a very difficult instrument to play. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Sacked that off. I went into choir singing instead.
Did you really?
No. Okay. I think I did a choir because I was brought up Catholic. I went to a Catholic school. I did choir boy about two or three times and then again. Mom, Dad, I'm not doing that ever again.
Have you ever been an altar boy?
Yeah, I had to go with that. I had to ring a bell when they drink the wine, is it? The priest drinks the wine.
Oh, you had the good job.
I rang the bell.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, for us, I went to a all boys Catholic school.
Explains a lot. easy target.
Yeah. No, we used to do mass service, so to be an altar boy throughout the day, and we could go into town, and on the way we could go and buy loads of sweets, you know, on our way to do
perks,
the mass.
Perks.
Yeah, that was the perks, and we used to get orders from all of our classmates. You'd be going into the shops with a big pocket full of money. You know, it wasn't big money, it was all change for a few penny sweets, and you'd bring
one
back
half of £1?
Something like that, yeah. And you'd come back with bags full of penny sweets and give them out to your mates.
Good days. Popularity event, my friend, I will give you a penny chew.
Good times, my man. Good times. Yeah. Very uncomplicated, simple times.
Here we are, old and,
miserable.
Miserable, very.
No, not at all.
Good man.
No, I'm not miserable.
No.
That's why I like you, Robert. You know, try and look on the bright side of life all the time.
Always look on the bright side of life.
But being sad is also not a problem either. You know, I can be pissed off as well.
I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand, mate. Every morning in India, I said
that's because you wouldn't make me a coffee.
I was in a different room to you, thank God.
It doesn't matter. I mean, the least you could have done is wake me up with a nice fresh cup of coffee every morning.
Yeah, that's why we had our concierge.
That's true.
Patel.
What a legend. Yeah. It's amazing how little they had when you think about it, but they had enough, right?
Happy, mate. That's all you need.
They were totally happy, but every single day when we went back, do you remember they were on their phones? I mean, if they didn't have their phones, I don't know what they would be doing.
Well, it's, as I say, it's the same everywhere now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But honestly, like, you know, have you ever heard people like moan, like saying, you know, when you're on public transport or whatever, and you see people with their heads in their phones and that's all they do nowadays. But if you look back to before the phones, you know what they were doing? They had their head stuck in a newspaper or in a book. I mean, for me anyways, I'm doing exactly that, but just on my phone. I'm reading the news, I'm reading articles, I'm reading all sorts.
Yeah, same. I'm not just
I think that's what most Facebook. People do as well. Yeah. But it's just the medium has changed, that's all.
Yeah. So anyway, when we were in India, Robert, who did we meet?
No, we're not talking about India.
Yeah, but we're going to, how do we get to where
no,
we are?
No, we're not talking about India, no. Forget it.
Okay.
No, go on. You're allowed to, I suppose.
So, who do we have to chat to today, Robert?
Well, you could say it a little bit more energetic.
Who do we have to talk to today, Robert?
We have Mav... No, we don't have Mavro. Sorry. Let me write down her first name.
Go for it.
Margarita. Okay.
So, who's our guest today, Robert?
Well, I'm happy you asked, Danny boy. Our guest today is Margarita Mavromichalis from Greece, originally, right?
Awesome. Yep, that's true.
Awesome. Margarita is also known as Tita, which is much easier to say.
Absolutely. That's why I got you to say it.
And I did such an amazing job, right?
You did a much better job than I could have.
Yeah. And Margarita, we actually met on our travels in India.
We did. Lovely lady.
Very
talented.
Yes, yeah, she is very talented. Yeah. It was amazing discovering her work afterwards, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because obviously you say hello to someone in the street. And then when you get to see, obviously she's there the same as us doing some street photography. And then you get to see your work online, which is, yeah, amazing.
And you know what's even more amazing, I think, is the fact that you can meet somebody for literally 5 minutes and you just know that they're going to be a nice person.
Yeah.
And they're going to be somebody that you're going to easily get on with. And we both instantly got that from her, right?
Totally, totally. Like, this is why we asked if she'd be interested in speaking to us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she's very passionate, isn't she, about her work?
Yeah, which is brilliant, because obviously we are too, right?
Indeed, indeed we are. Yeah, shall we get her on?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Wedding Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Hey, massive welcome to Margarita.
Hey, Margarita.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming along.
Indeed, thank you for coming along.
Such a pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Margarita.
I'm Greek. I come from a Greek family. I have lived in many, many countries around the world since my father was a diplomat. And I moved around every 3 or 4 years ever since I was born. So my life has taken me to many beautiful and very exciting places. I studied translation and interpreting. I became an interpreter many years ago. And that was probably a very boring career I chose.
I'm sure it wasn't.
It was.
In which language or languages?
French, English, Greek, Spanish, and German.
Wow.
Oh, cool. Dann können wir uns auf Deutsch unterhalten.
Na ja, natürlich.
Dann right, vielleicht
nicht. I'm lost.
But it was probably, you know, I was always good in languages since a young kid. And yeah. It was probably for me the easiest thing to choose as a career. But I did not find it very fulfilling.
It's one thing speaking a language. It's another thing being at the level where you have to translate professionally.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a different ballgame. Anyway, photography was always in my life since a young age. I had a darkroom when I was a teenager and developed my own images. And I always loved it. But it was never an option really to pursue it professionally, because for my parents, it wasn't anything that should be taken too seriously, or you couldn't rely on it to make a living.
Yeah.
And I mean, they had a point in some ways.
Yeah, I wanted to be a rugby player. And
right.
That never happened. And
knocks on the head.
Yeah. And I played rugby, but I didn't get paid enough.
Yeah.
But you tell your parents, I want to be a rugby player, and they, whoa.
Yeah.
But photography, here we are.
So here we are. And about 10 years ago, when I lived in New York, I decided that this was the time to really pursue what I love the most. And I was lucky enough to be there, and I enrolled at the International Center of Photography. And that's when everything changed.
That's amazing. So what a place to start.
I know. I was really lucky and privileged, and I was taught by wonderful teachers and inspired. And New York, you know, is the perfect place to photograph or to do street, at least.
I went about 10 years ago, but I wasn't into photography then. Definitely not street photography. But yeah, looking back, I need to go back, you know, because I just remember how amazing and the characters you just bump into.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But London is pretty similar in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that's lucky, because it's only 90 minutes on a train for me. So
right.
And I did have plans on coming to meet you, remember?
Yes. And I still hope that will happen one day.
For sure, for sure. But I say meet you, we've already met, yeah?
We did. And how wonderful that was, in the most perfect setting.
Yeah, so we've all met, the three of us.
The three of Indeed. Us on the River Ganges.
Yeah, as you do.
The crystal clear waters of the River Ganges.
What a place.
What a place.
Varanasi is very special, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I've been traveling to India for 7-8 years now, and every year I go to Varanasi.
Wow.
Every single year. There's no way I can go to India without spending at least a week there.
Wow. Yeah, no, we can honestly, we've been there once now and we have to go back already.
To be fair, Dan, we haven't even scratched the surface.
No.
We basically went up and down the banks of the Ganges. I mean, that's where most of the action is if you're into street photography. But in terms of discovering and exploring Varanasi, we haven't.
You know, yeah. I've been there 7 times. And I still feel that I have barely scratched the surface.
There we go. Yeah. So we need to go back.
It's endless.
Yeah.
It was a massive culture shock, I won't lie. But but we were looked after in our hotel. It was unbelievable. It was like we were part of their family.
Right.
It was a family-run establishment, and they just looked after us so well, asking us in the morning, like, how are you boys? Are you okay, boys? Can we get you anything, boys? And they were lovely.
The connoisseur, was it Patel?
Patel, yeah.
Yeah, we joked one evening and said, well, we were getting up at 5 for the blue hour on the Ganges.
Mm-hmm.
So we joked, we expect coffee at 5 a.m., Patel, only joking. And he said, yes, no problem. Just give me your WhatsApp. Here's my WhatsApp. We'll exchange WhatsApp and I'll get up to make you coffee. And we're like, no, we're only joking.
Exactly, yeah.
They couldn't do enough for you, you know? So yeah, we met on the River Ganges. Through Vineet Vonra.
Yes, that's right. Vineet has been a very good friend for many years. And I was lucky enough actually to meet him here in London. And we've stayed good friends since.
So for those who don't know, Vineet is an Indian street photographer, like our ambassador, who's just insanely, insanely good. And a lovely, lovely person.
Lovely person, really.
Yeah. So my recollection of Margarita was walking along, chatting to this lady for literally 10 seconds, and then I saw a cow out of the corner of my eye standing next to a building full of crosses. And I remember running off, Margarita. Sorry, I'll be back. Run up, took a photo,
came
run
back with a masterpiece.
Wow. Funny, because at the same time I was running away trying to make the sun kind of look like it was shining out of the backside of a cow.
So we've
got a strange fascination with cows now.
So you must have thought, who are these two guys? Yeah,
we're both country boys, so yeah. You know, we have to.
Yeah. But, just great memories. We wish we could have stayed longer and obviously caught up a bit more with you during the trip. And seeing your Instagram afterwards, you have a favorite image of mine already.
Really? Which one is that?
The young girl standing in the doorway with the bicycle and the blue and the yellow.
Do you know, I took this image maybe the day or the day after I met you.
No way.
In Varanasi. Yeah.
Ah.
So was that like back streets? Yes.
I love those back streets.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Do you know, whenever the sun, the light becomes too harsh midday, I always walk the back streets, and it's the best time.
You just get little drips of light just hit in places, don't you?
And the light is so soft in there, you know, it's beautiful.
It's an amazing image anyway. I need it. I'd like that in my own home, Margarita.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We'll discuss that.
as we mentioned, a print swap,
because
I was telling Rob the other day, print swapping is a thing in street photography, but coming from a wedding photography background, nobody wants to swap images of random brides and grooms, right?
Great idea.
I really love that idea. Yeah, I hadn't heard of it until Dan mentioned it.
Yeah, I was at, obviously when I went to the London, because I've only been doing street photography 18 months and I wish I could have done more, but obviously weddings is my main job, so that comes first. But yeah, when I was at the London Wedding Street Photography Festival, everybody was bringing prints, meeting and bringing prints to swap with like people they'd never met. But I just thought it was great, you know? So people are asking me, have you got any prints? I was like, no. Sorry. Yeah,
the only time I've printed my images is actually for Vineet, and he just destroyed them.
That's right.
What do you mean he destroyed them?
he was using them to show us what could be better and so on. And so he was folding them
like origami,
folding them and ripping them and.
Oh boy, that's painful.
Yeah. But yeah, I also go back to print swapping. I went, obviously you've heard of Martin Parr. He has I don't know if you've been to the foundation in Bristol. We've mentioned it before.
I have not been. I was intending to go, but that fell through. But I've been in touch with him a few times.
Yeah. So I went to a Tony Ray Jones evening.
Did you buy the book?
Yep. It's impossible not to. You go there, you see all of the images on the wall. And he did a lot in New York City too, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And also David Hearn was there. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of David Hearn.
He's Magnum, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he was the one who initially started off print swapping.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a good place to meet your heroes, I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
So who are your heroes, Tika?
Oh, you know, my tastes are very classic, I would say.
The likes of Henri Cartier-Bresson and Vivian Maier and so on.
Yes, exactly. Henri Cartier-Bresson is absolutely fantastic. Gary Winogrand, I love. Elliot Erwitt is an all-time favorite.
The old masters.
I think there's nothing like them. I have such respect for them. And I have a lot of respect for anyone who still shoots film.
Oh, totally.
I find that, you know, they are such better photographers than we are, or that I am, at least.
So the ones you've mentioned are predominantly black and white for obvious reasons. But do you identify yourself then more with color or black and white?
I think color, because I only shoot color. The only black and white work that I created, and that's because I converted it after in black and white, was the refugees. I documented the refugee crisis on the island of Lesbos from 2014 onwards.
I was looking the other day with Rob. Amazing.
It was
amazing.
The biggest point of entry of the refugees in Greece, and I focused on that island. But, you know, somehow color did not translate what I felt when I was there and when I was shooting. And somehow color took that away. And it was a very traumatic experience. And turning the images into black and white really made sense.
Yeah.
So did you go and do that off your own back?
No, completely
or?
On my own.
Yeah.
So these are refugees coming from Syria, Afghanistan,
from
Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
And in 2014, 2015, there was a real influx at that point.
Yeah, 2015 was the peak.
And they were basically just trying to get into Europe, right?
Exactly.
And the Greek island of Lesbos, just off the coast of Turkey, is one of the closest points of entry for them, right?
Yeah.
And then they get there and they're stuck in camps.
Because, you know, after a few months, 6 months later, the Europe started closing the borders.
Yeah.
So they were literally stuck there at first, you know, they would try to move to the mainland, but then there was an agreement between the EU and Turkey that said that any refugee that came into the country had to remain at the point of entry. So they were stuck on the islands. And and that was tragic because because if you look at the numbers, sometimes there are more refugees than locals.
Wow.
And so the balance is really wrong.
How long were you there?
Many, many times. I used to go every month, every second month.
Do you become friends with these people as well? Or?
You know, most of them were really very sweet and they were so eager to be in touch and to get their story across. And I mean, I'm friends on Facebook with so many of them.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And it's always nice to catch up and see where they are and the progress they've made. Funny enough, some of them have made it out.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Did you meet people coming in initially and have subsequently met them elsewhere in a different country? I mean, what I'm trying to ask is if you managed to follow somebody's journey from that initial arrival.
Yes, I followed their journey, but I haven't managed to meet with them. But when in London, a year and a half ago, I had an exhibit with this work. And it was very touching because two or three people came to the exhibit who were actually refugees and who had gone through Lesbos. They weren't in my pictures. I hadn't met them, but they were really very moved. And it was moving for me too, to see their reactions when they were looking at the work and talking about their experiences.
So you won awards for the series too.
I did. Yeah. Maybe for me, the most important recognition that I got was that I was nominated for the Prix Pictet.
Yeah.
The Prix Pictet of Hope, which was in 2019. And they have created a beautiful book and I was included in the book. So that was really nice.
You'll have to send me a link to this book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Margarita, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. Published by Tenoyes.
Because I've seen some of the work on, obviously, online of your Lesbos. And very moving.
Yeah.
So you've traveled and traveled and traveled quite a few places by the sounds of things. Do you have a favorite? Don't say India, because it's probably a favorite.
It's a favorite to shoot, definitely. But my favorite place, out of all the countries that I've lived, I have to tell you that the only place that I really, really felt at home was New York.
Wow.
And it's
chaos.
Probably because I like the chaos. The chaos sort of, you know, makes you feel alive and it makes you keep moving and keep going. Never a dull moment. And it's such a melting pot of people and the pace of the city is such that, you know, nobody makes you feel as if you don't belong there.
Absolutely true.
Have you been, Rob?
Oh, maybe 6-7 times.
All right, quite a few times then.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with New York. My wife works there quite often. And one year I took the opportunity to spend a week there just dedicated to street photography.
Right,
really?
Awesome.
On your own? Fantastic.
And you know what it's like? With street photography, you get to know a place intimately because you're going down every single street and back alley you find.
Exactly.
Yeah, you look at things through a different perspective than you. So if I walk downtown or anywhere without the photography side of it, when you go with your street photography mind, you're just looking at it all different perspective and just things just stand out and things you just wouldn't notice like 5 years ago before I started. So yeah, if I walk around streets now with non-photographer friends, they start looking at me. What are you looking at? What are you doing?
I get that all the time.
Yeah.
My husband keeps telling me that I'm so weird. Whenever we're walking together, he says, "Can you stop? You look like a hawk."
That's so true, though. You do look such a weirdo with it. You know, some of the places you do, the angles you get into.
Exactly.
You just think, if someone's watching me now, what are they thinking?
So, Tita, what's your approach to street photography then?
You know, I tend to look for spots that I find interesting, either because the light is nice at that particular time of the moment or because the background is beautiful. I pay a lot of attention to the backgrounds. I think they are crucial. And I stand there. I can stand there for hours and wait until whatever I've been expecting happens.
Fantastic.
Very patient then.
Very patient. You have to be patient. But of course, you know, you always get also, you know, those beautiful, interesting, lucky moments, the moment whenever you don't expect them.
Yeah, it's all worth it then.
Yeah.
You know, luck is something we discussed with Vivi. What is your take on it?
I think we definitely make our luck, and with experience, it becomes more obvious. But also, I mean, I can't deny that, you know, some shots were pure luck. I did not create them. Of course, I had maybe an eye to see them, but there is a lot of luck involved as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find the same with my, when I do a wedding, you have in your mind, oh, I've just taken a cool image, and you get back and you go, yeah, it's cool, but it's not what I thought it might be. And then you scroll through and you find something you didn't even realize you took sometimes. Yeah. So pure luck, but exactly. You have to be there and you have to know what you're doing. And yeah, sometimes you get lucky.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. For me, I like to think I'm making my own luck. I don't believe in the luck element of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our subconscious is a massive part of our brains. We might not consciously know we've done it, but we're there.
He's going all deep on us now, Margarita.
Yeah, I'm going too deep, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I can't argue. What equipment do you use, Margarita?
Most.
I know I'm not one for it's about the equipment, no, but I'm just curious.
I know my ooh goes to that I'm always reprimanded by most mentors and teachers that I'm using the wrong equipment. But I am a Nikon fan, and I have a big Nikon 850.
I have two of those.
Yeah.
That's what I use for weddings.
Yeah. I mean, for weddings, they make sense. For street, maybe less.
Right up until India, Tita, I was shooting the street with the D750. So,
yeah, that's a better one, though. It's a bit lighter than the 850.
Yeah. How do you go about setting up the D850 for street? I mean, normally with a rangefinder, you normally have it set up so it's hyperfocaling, it's a single shot, it's quiet, blah, blah, blah. How do you set up the D850 for your street work?
Yeah. You know, usually I shoot in shutter priority, which again is not usual. I like my shots to be mostly sharp. So I want to make sure that I'm at a fast shutter speed.
To freeze.
Yes, to freeze the motion. And I play with my ISO. I mean, during the day, there's no issue with noise, but at night, the D850 is not good. I'm not happy with the results.
No, the 750 is better for in the night.
Yeah.
And the Sony, because I was using a Sony A7 III over in India. And yeah, you can bump up the ISO because first thing in the morning when we were getting up, I had to pump it right up. And yeah, it's pretty good for noise.
It was pretty crazy when you did that, actually. When you revealed the image afterwards, it's like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if I'd use my 850, then maybe not.
I mean, they are big cameras, and yes, they are visible. But I don't care so much. I don't mind people seeing me. And after a while, people don't notice you anymore. When you stay long enough in a setting,
you're oblivious.
Yeah, people forget about you.
If I'm honest, you almost look less strange with a big camera because you're not, you know, even though you're trying to be sneaky, being a street photographer, if they do see you, they're like, ah, it's a big camera. They're not actually being sneaky. It's obvious they're taking a photo. Whereas, you know, with the rangefinders, they're so small that, it looks a bit strange sometimes.
Yeah, for some reason, they believe that the big cameras, you know, you're a professional. So they look at you in a weird way because they feel that you're making money out of them.
You're a real photographer.
You're a real photographer.
I must look completely the opposite then because I've never had that issue.
So what lenses do you use, Margarita?
I use 24, 28, and 35. Yeah. 35 less and less. I find it too confining and restricting. When I go back to my images, they're mostly shot either in 24 or 28.
Wow, that's a brave focal length as well for street photography, isn't it?
I don't know. I find 35 too restricting.
Okay, that's it's really interesting. Yeah, because
I'm mainly 35, but I do have a Ricoh GR as well, which is a 28. And yeah, you get a little bit of leeway. You can obviously get really close.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
but
if you're not comfortable in that situation, then
you have to be close.
You have to. Yeah.
India was great for getting close, and nobody, you know, people are so friendly and didn't care, right?
When you approach them right, absolutely. So,
India, the people are wonderful.
Ah, so friendly, so friendly. No, let's go back.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So when you go on these trips, Tita, you know, your work at the end of it, how would you categorize it? Would you categorize it more in a street photography genre or a travel photography genre, or you just don't care?
You know, I don't really care. I wouldn't describe it as travel. I would maybe use street because I feel that I have to define it in some way. But, you know, we have a tendency these days to put labels on everything and to categorize everything. And I don't really agree with that because I feel that it restricts us.
Can't argue with that.
I love to shoot portraits. I mean, the girl that you mentioned that I shot, yes, that image. I mean, it's a portrait. It's a street portrait. Many people will tell you and argue that this is not street photography.
Yeah. Be your own person, right?
But, that's, you know, follow your heart, do what you want to do, do what appeals to you. And if you really feel you have to put a label on it, then do it. But I try to avoid it.
Yeah,
I agree. And if you go follow too many things and the way it should be, you're just going to be the same as those. You know,
same
you want to be
your
own person.
You know, there's so many do's and don'ts, and you know, just be yourself.
Yeah, some countries lend themselves naturally more to street photography than others. Mm. Which ones would you say are, you know, like for myself and Dan, who want to go and travel a little bit more and do a little bit more street together? Mm-hmm. What countries would you recommend we go to?
I mean, you've been to India, so India is number one on my list, and I don't think I will ever stop traveling there. But my next recommendation would be Cuba. Cuba is absolutely magnificent.
That's one of the countries I was looking at, which
it's on top of my list.
Yeah, I've been there. Just photograph a wedding, and I wasn't doing street photography then, which was about 5 years ago. So Holoquin, I went.
Yeah.
And I looked to go to like Havana, and it was like a 9-hour drive. So I didn't end up doing it. Now I kick myself, but I definitely need to go back. And this is one of the places which I was planning.
Yeah. Definitely. Cuba, you know, the colors there are beautiful. The architecture, the texture on all the buildings. I mean, you think you are in a different era, and the people are so wonderful and so friendly and warm, and there's music everywhere, and everything happens out on the streets, and nobody minds to be photographed. It's just...
Oh, that's great.
There's music everywhere. People are dancing. I even take salsa lessons when I go there.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, there we are. We'll have to take salsa lessons, Rob.
Salsa lessons, me and you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
I got two left feet when I'm dancing.
Oh, I'm terrible, man. I'm terrible. Yeah.
But I give it a go, you know, especially when I've had a drink or two.
Exactly. It helps.
That always helps.
Yeah. Margarita, I photographed a wedding in Estepona in Spain. Mm-hmm. Just over a year ago. So there was a couple from Tasmania came over to get married. Wow. She was originally from Holland. He's from Australia. They wanted to meet me because I'd never met them. They invited me to the party the day before.
And I walked into the party. I'd been there literally not even five minutes, and the salsa dancer had me up dancing in front of all these people who I'd never met. So, yeah.
Yeah, you have a habit of entering parties like that and then, you know, something happening like that.
Yeah, I just got one of those faces, I think. Just people pick on me.
I think you made a big entrance.
But it's an icebreaker, right?
Of course.
Yeah, indeed. I definitely need lessons. Yeah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask myself or Rob, Margarita? About anything in any topic?
Individually or collectively?
In your photographic process, what do you enjoy the least after you're done shooting?
Probably culling for me, even though it's that intriguing part where you might find a gem or you're really looking forward to finding that photo that you think you've captured. Mm-hmm. It can also be a little bit mundane as well, going through the rest, especially, I guess, for weddings where you probably take more.
So many.
Of a day.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, but I procrastinate as well.
Yeah. Do you let your work rest for a while before you look at it?
Yeah, I do. I've just done a blog post of when I went to Hong Kong, when I literally first started street photography. I did photographed a wedding in Australia, then had a 2-day stop over in Hong Kong. So that was January 2019. So I've literally just edited those and done a blog post. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do let things stew, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think if you look at them initially, you may go back a year later or 2 years later and see something completely different also.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I always recommend not to delete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those archives.
Yeah. What I find the most difficult is getting your work out. That to me is the most challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding the right outlets and getting it seen by the right people.
Yeah, it's how do you go about it? You know, there's so many, you know, options, but so many wrong options. Exactly. And waste of time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I find that very frustrating, actually, especially with whatever Instagram does nowadays. I remember when I started sharing my street work, I would be getting, you know, not massive amounts of followings and likes and so on and shares. But now I get, you know, no shares whatsoever, you know, like on these sites which do the repost and all of that. None of that. And that's been well over a year now since I've had that. Whereas almost every image, regardless of the quality, it was reposted somewhere.
Right.
I find that very frustrating now, because where else do we get to share our images?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I don't do it for the likes. I do it so I can share it. I want people to see what I've done.
And Instagram has gone down that road, hasn't it? It basically wants you to pay for adverts now. So, especially with my wedding photography Instagram.
Yeah.
I think it shows like sometimes not even 10% of my following, you know?
Yeah.
They know I'm a business. They know I'm getting free, basically advertising, really. So they want a bite of the cherry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand how it really works, you know, with the algorithms, and they change those algorithms all the time.
Yeah, it's a science, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Don't fight it.
Now, for me, the thing I dislike the most is thinking that you've got maybe 5 images that you've absolutely nailed, only to find afterwards that there's something wrong with it, or it's not quite the image you thought it was when you looked at the back of the camera. You know, that for me is a real signal.
Deflation.
It is a little bit of deflation. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you get that deflation, it pushes you the next time. I think, you know, I think you're seeking for the ultimate photo, which I know I'm never going to get, but that's what drives me to try and get it. Yeah. There is no such thing, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, for people who think that, it's easy, I can do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely hard work and dedication, which, you know, I look back when I first started and you just take a picture of, you didn't even know what you're taking a picture of.
Mm-hmm.
And now you dissect every image and you go, what did I do wrong there? What should I have done? And yeah, like, but the joy is you go out and you never know what you're going to come exactly. back with. That's what keeps me entertained anyway.
That is the beauty.
That's the fascination of it.
Tita, have you enjoyed?
I loved it. Absolutely. I wish we could get together.
I know. We definitely have to make future plans. Like obviously when things are back to normal, I'm going to have to take a trip to London.
Yeah.
Rob will have to take a trip to the UK, London, Cheltenham, Wales.
Terrible.
Rob, where are you?
From the west coast of Ireland, County Mayo,
okay.
In a small village called Lewisburg.
All right.
But I have been living in Switzerland, living and working in Switzerland for the last 14 years now.
Okay. And you're happy there?
Absolutely love it here.
I lived in Geneva when I was younger. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would make sense, being that your family are diplomats. Yeah. Being in Geneva is definitely on that list.
I mean, I was in boarding school then. I finished high school, so my family wasn't there. But I really had a good time.
I went over to visit Rob in October. Tita and I stopped off in Geneva to do a little bit of street photography before my plane out.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
Yeah, cool. Really cool. And the weather, again, we had amazing weather, which...
It was shockingly warm at that time of year, wow. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing with Switzerland. The thing I love about it is that they have seasons, real seasons.
Yes, you feel the change of the...
Yeah. Like, I grew up on, you know, in Mayo, and it's just a constant, very steady, cool, miserable, chill, drizzly temperature.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful like that.
Yeah.
Great. We need to... All this talk of going places is just like, oh, I want to go.
You guys could make it easy for me, you know, and you could come and visit here. You see beautiful Switzerland and the bonuses, you get to see me as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Your options.
Be careful propose.
Hey, more than welcome. Absolutely.
So far, we've had invitations to Zanzibar, Cape Town, Cardiff, Switzerland, London, Cheltenham. So we're doing well so far.
Cape Town is a beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not been there yet.
I was mightily impressed with Cape Town. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, Margarita, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
It really has, yeah.
Pleasure was all mine, really.
Everybody has to go and check out your work, and this, you know, especially those pictures from Lesvos, and my favorite image ever.
Yeah. We'll have to post that on the Gram account, Dan.
Yeah, guys, we have an Instagram account as well called The Wedding Street Podcast, and Tita's kind enough to share some of her images with us on there. So
thank you so much for having me.
No, absolutely. Thank you
for listening. If you've enjoyed, please subscribe to the podcast.